KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 53 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, the high around 78. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. Well, three GOP members of the key committee said they plan to block state regulators from expanding their authority to turn over private property for wind energy developments. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Some Iowa counties have passed local zoning ordinances restricting where wind turbines may be placed. Critics say those restrictions would be overruled by the proposed Iowa Utilities Board regulations. Because if the board approves a wind farm project, eminent domain authority could be used to convert private property for the public use of renewable energy generation. Senator Zach Whiting of Spirit Lake says he has a number of concerns about the dramatic expansion of eminent domain authority the utilities board appears to give itself in these rules. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Private property rights and utility development have been a flashpoint for lawmakers from both parties for years. In 2006, then-Governor Tom Vilsack vetoed legislation that limited the power of local governments to seize private property for commercial development through the eminent domain process, and 87% of Iowa's legislative members voted to override that veto. A year ago, Governor Reynolds said she favored local control and opposed statewide regulation of where wind turbines may be located. An analysis prepared for the National Corn Growers Association concludes American corn farmers will lose $89 an acre in revenue this year due to the pandemic. Chris Edgington, who farms near St. Ansgar, is the association's new vice president.
There's some economists that are projecting we'll even be out into the 2021 crop year. Will be impacted.
A prediction from a University of Illinois economist suggests 2020 revenue from U.S. corn sales will dip to a 14-year low.
We've got a lot of challenges. We've got a lot of great product that we need to get moved, and we're just looking for homes to get it out of the bin so that we can put this year's crop in there.
The economic analysis done for the corn growers indicates that even after calculating the additional payment from federal farm programs, there's a $15 per acre drop in revenue related to the 2019 corn crop.
COVID is definitely causing some challenges in the country. Exports are challenged. Demand for ethanol and livestock have both been hit pretty hard at times, and so those things rise right to the front when we get together as a group and talk.
Edgington is part of a three-generation operation. He farms with his father, his brother, and his son. Students at the three state schools are starting to move back into the dorms for the beginning of the fall semester. There are usually no tests given the first weeks, but Iowa State University's COVID-19 health coordinator, Kristen Obink, says that has changed this year.
Our students are moving into our residence halls and campus apartments. We'll first be getting a COVID-19 test at Lead Recreation Center. And this testing effort's being operated and conducted by Iowa State's Public Health and Emergency Command teams.
University of Northern Iowa students have also started moving in. The U of I students will start at the end of the week. Those schools won't be testing students, though. ISU Student Health Director Aaron Baldwin said they felt it was necessary to know where they stand.
Testing is just one element of our strategy. So we felt like since we have a large group of students that we're moving into our residence halls, it was important to have that testing as we introduce our students to congregate housing, realizing it's a point in time with testing, and it's just one element of the strategy.
The housing will be limited to two roommates, and they will alternate the move-in times. Associate Director of Campus Life, that is, Pete Englund, says they have a plan for dealing with positive tests.
First roommate moves in, gets her test results, they're negative. Second roommate comes in, gets test results, and it might be positive. The positive person would go to isolation, then the other roommate would go to quarantine. And then we've secured a moving team that actually moves whatever the students want to take with them to either isolation or quarantine. And then when they're cleared to return to their permanent assignment, the moving team will help them move too.
Englund says they are keeping things very flexible for parents and students who change their minds.
Anybody who may not want to live on campus, it doesn't sound right to them, they can cancel their contract through August 17th without any penalty. So part of the process will is to support what makes sense to you. And so that's the process we've been going through with parents and students, is talking all that through. What we're offering is mitigation strategies. Does that fit for you? and let them make those choices.
Health Center Director Baldwin says they plan to release testing numbers, much like Iowa Department of Public Health has done, on positive tests, but she says they do not have a threshold number for positive tests.
We do not have any specific drop points where we're going to say, yep, we're done.
Baldwin says they do have plans in place to deal with what they see in the numbers.
With our main goal of trying to intervene and mitigate those things early so that we can have the biggest impact on public health with the lowest amount of impact in our overall university operations. So we've really tried to provide a really flexible plan that can be tailored to the situation at hand as we continue to monitor those things over the course of the semester.
Englund says many of the college kids have been doing the things that college kids do, and the measures they are taking at ISU will actually be safer for them. Online student registration has begun for the upcoming school year in the Atlantic School District. Officials say the district will continue to utilize the rollover online application process with JMC, which is the district's student information system. If you're a student or students attended the Atlantic Community School District last year and were still in attendance on the last day of school, you need to follow the steps in JMC's parent portal to verify registration information and pay your student fees. Those fees need to be paid by Friday, October 9th. Students who are new to the school district and planning to enroll for 2021 will need to contact each student's school office to make an appointment to begin the enrollment process. If you don't have access to the internet or online, feel free to stop by your children's school. The office will be more than happy to assist you in any way they can. Should you have any questions regarding school registration or payment of school fees, contact your respective school here in the Atlantic School District. Well, the state medical director, whose public profile has been elevated during the pandemic, has gotten a big pay boost. Dr. Caitlin Padotti's boss is Department of Human Services Director Kelly Garcia, who is now the interim director of public health as well. Garcia said that she raised the medical director's salary by nearly 45% for a variety of reasons, including new responsibilities for Dr. Padotti in the Department of Human Services.
This decision was really focused around retention, but also really focused around the job that we asked her to do in those dual roles.
Padotti has been the state epidemiologist as well as the state medical director since late 2018. Her new $265,000 a year annual salary is higher than that of Dr. Patricia Quinlisk, her predecessor, who retired nearly 2 years ago after 24 years on the job. Garcia said she's quite comfortable with Padotti's new salary compared to what the other physicians in the state are making.
I did pull a variety of other salaries for physicians, both internal to the Department of Human Services, internal to the Department of Public Health, as well as the Department of Corrections. And this salary adjustment is actually below what those other salaries are in comparison.
The Bleeding Heartland blog first reported Padotti's salary adjustment, as well as the $55,000 she was paid for overtime work this spring. Garcia said Padotti is not only being asked to be the state's top clinician, she had to do her work in a spotlight, and in Garcia's words, under a microscope during the pandemic.
She's worked at the CDC, she's worked in another state, and she is paramount to our ability to sustain this response over the course of the next year.
Padotti worked in the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services before taking the job in Iowa's Department of Health. And finally, in area news, officials of the Cass County Health System say Dr. Rick Reinhart, ENT, or ear, nose, and throat specialist, will begin seeing patients August 17th at the Atlantic Medical Center Surgery Clinic. Dr. Reinhart will be providing care for all ages in the clinic and surgeries in Atlantic. He's board-certified otolaryngologist, which head and neck surgeon with over 20 years of experience. He was born and raised in Iowa and did undergraduate studies at the University, or rather, Iowa State University. CCHS CEO Dr. Brett Altman said Dr. Reinhart is an exceptional physician, and we strive to develop relationships like this with the best, brightest, and kindest doctors so our patients get outstanding health care services right here at home. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Dr. Reinhart, call the AMC Surgery Clinic, formerly known as Southwest Iowa Surgery, 712-243-7535. The news was brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.